Did you know that on average, people have about 27 different conversations throughout a day? So on average, about 27 different conversations. And also on average, between men and women, people have about 16,000 words that they use a day. Now, that's give or take, because some will have more or less conversations. Some people have more or less words that they use. Some people have a lot of words that they use, and some people not so many. But that's kind of an average of words and conversations that we have as people. But what's so fascinating about those numbers, as we look in the church, is that, you know, we find it very easy to have those conversations about our kids or about the weather, or conversation about sports, about maybe politics, which is very popular. We have no problem having those kinds of conversations in a given day. But what's so striking about surveys and studies that have been done in churches is that people will say all day, hey, as a believer, we need to have a conversation about Jesus, a conversation about the gospel. But then they do the same kind of survey and come to find out, although a majority of Christians would say we need that kind of conversation, a majority of the Christians do not have those kinds of conversations. Now, I'm not talking those kinds of conversations, but I'm speaking of gospel conversations. As a Christian, we are called to have those discussions and talks and conversations about what Jesus has done for us and what Jesus has done for all people. A gospel conversation. And so this morning we're going to talk a little bit, as we continue our series, Love Where You Live, to live, love, and share. That as believers we have been called to share and to have that gospel conversation with those neighbors in our area, with our co-workers, with our fellow students. That it's not enough just to talk about the importance, but to actually have those talks. So if you would open up your Bibles to the book of Acts, we're going to be using a passage out of Acts that I believe really gives us a great picture of really gospel conversation. And it's coming from Paul. And again, we talked about this last week a little bit. If you're going to have an example of what it means to share the gospel, or how to share the gospel, or gospel conversation, really Paul is the greatest example that we can look at. And in this instance, as we look at this context in Acts 24, we're going to be reading starting in verse 22. In context, what we have is Paul doing what he does. He's preaching, he's sharing about Jesus in Jerusalem, and what happens is, with all the religious leaders, all the political leaders that were so against the believers and against Paul, stirs quite a group of unhappy people. And so much so that people were wanting to kill Paul, wanted to get rid of Paul. And so what happens is that they took Paul into custody, in a sense, to protect him, is what they say. Eventually, what they wanted to do is really take him to Felix, who is in Caesarea, a very high official, very important official that could kind of determine the fate of what they believed was this this problem causer and stir in Paul. And so eventually that's what they did. They would took Paul to Caesarea with an armed guard of a group of about 200, and took him to Caesarea to meet before Felix to really find out his fate. And they brought all kinds of false charges against Paul, like stirring up riots and against Rome and against the high officials, and all kinds of false lies and that were thrown out about Paul. That was their goal, to really kind of lead Felix into executing Paul, or to put him in life in prison. So that's where we kind of find the context. Now, Felix didn't want to have anything to do with Paul. And so we'll find that a little bit. He was kind of passing the buck a little bit for whatever reason. But that's where we are in context. Paul in captivity, in a sense, with these groups of officials and military. And so we're in Acts 24. We're going to read 22 through 25. And if you're able, would you stand as we read God's word this morning? This is what God's Word says in Acts 24. It says, "But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, 'When Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case.' Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs." Then in verse 24, "After some days, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, 'Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you.'" Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for power that is in your word. And we pray that right now, Holy Spirit, that you speak to our hearts, transforming us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I find it fascinating that, you know, so many people have a hard time sharing the gospel. And listen, I'm there. I understand. And many times I think the problem is we make it so difficult. But what we find with Paul is that Paul had every opportunity that he had, he would share about really what Jesus did for him and how Jesus changed his life and who Jesus is. So for him, it was very simple. And I think that's where we need to be as believers. To not make the gospel so difficult and so confusing as we have over the years, but to bring it back to the very simplest form of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Now, when we look at this passage with Felix, I love what Paul does here. Paul is notorious for kind of getting himself in trouble, right? Sharing the gospel, getting put in jail and those kind of things. What we find is we find him in a very, very familiar place. So I want to talk about two things real quick. Then I want to talk about some practical tools that we can use to have gospel conversations. Now, first is this. As we think about how Paul interacted with people and had those gospel conversations, especially as we look here with his relationship with Felix at this time and place, is that we are called, just like Paul, and so this is what we learn, to have gospel conversations no matter the place. That we, just like Paul, are called to have gospel conversations no matter the place that we are at. And this is what I love about Paul, is that what we find Paul, we always find him in places that are not comfortable. Matter of fact, probably are scary and a little over the top, many times in prison, in jail, in chains. But what we find is Paul taking advantage of those moments to share the gospel and have gospel conversations no matter what place he finds himself in. And this is no different as we think about Paul being escorted to Caesarea to meet before Felix. He's in custody. Now, it will say, listen, Felix said, you know, let his friends tend to his needs and things like that. But the reality is he is in jail. So Paul is in jail. But listen, this was an opportunity for him to share the gospel. And we see that pretty consistently all through his life. Verse 23 says this. It says, "Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody." So we know that Paul was kept by armed guard in custody in jail. This is interesting because we also read at the very beginning of this passage that Felix had an understanding of the way. So he knew about Christianity. He had heard a little bit about Jesus, probably from those that were in Caesarea. There's some great, strong, mature believers in Caesarea. But yet, even then, he still kind of kept Paul in custody, kind of waiting for that time to stand, you know, with Paul and talk to him. So this is where we find Paul. But this is a great lesson for us, that no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what place we are in, and know what place we are at, there's never any kind of place that's not a good place to share the gospel. Like, there's no place that you can find yourself in that you can't share the gospel and have a gospel conversation. Now, the world will say this. Listen, our culture pretty much tells us that it's not good to share the gospel. I mean, that's pretty much what our culture tells us. And we see that. It might offend somebody. It might hurt their feelings. It may alienate someone. It may divide someone. Listen, that's what our culture tells us. And what happens is we have been kind of boxed in to share the gospel and to talk about Jesus within these four walls. You know, in the church, that's the place that we share about Jesus. But everywhere else, in your workplace, in your school, listen, that's off limits. You can't talk about Jesus and you can't talk about the gospel. Listen, when I was a youth minister, I had students all the time. Craig, we can't pray. We're not supposed to talk about Jesus. They're telling us we can't do this. Listen, I will give you the same answer that I told those students so many years ago when I was a youth minister. Nobody can tell you not to talk about Jesus. Listen, no culture can tell you that it's wrong to share the gospel. No leaders can tell you you can't share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nobody can tell you to not share about Jesus. And listen, here's the good news about this. There is no place off limits for sharing the gospel. None. So if you're here today thinking, well, I can't talk about Jesus at work, you can talk about Jesus at work. If you think I can't share Jesus at school, you can share Jesus at school. There is no place off limits of having a gospel conversation. Now you're thinking, Craig, that's crazy. But listen, I'm not talking, you know, right now you're thinking, you know, in your mind you're thinking like, you know, a bullhorn and things like that. But I'm talking gospel conversations. Listen, you can take any discussion and talk that you have with a coworker, with a student, with a friend, with family, and you can turn those conversations into gospel conversations. There is no place off limits. You can have those talks anywhere. I love this passage earlier in Acts chapter 8, and starting in verse 1, it says this, "On that day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." And it says this, "Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison." And listen to what verse 4 says. "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went." I love that. You know, what I think is fascinating about this is Satan has his plans. If I can just spread them out, if I can just scatter the Christians, there's no power there. But listen, you know what Satan did? He allowed the gospel to be spread out all over the land. You know, when people say you can't do this or you can't do that, listen, it's just giving us opportunity. Opportunity to share the gospel at maybe more creative places. Maybe at opportune times by in the workroom or on a retreat or work retreat. Listen, we're given opportunities to go one-on-one and have gospel conversations with people. So listen, no matter where God has you, no matter where God puts you, listen, you have the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you today. Listen, no matter the place, share the gospel. That's what Paul did. No matter what place he was in, no matter where he was. But here's what I love about Paul also. In verse 24 it says this, "After some days Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment." Here's what I love about Paul's method of gospel conversation. It didn't matter the place. And listen, we are called to have gospel conversations just like Paul, no matter the person. Listen, we are called to have gospel talks and conversations no matter the place and no matter who the person is. Now let's get some background just briefly of Felix. Felix, you know, I think of Felix the Cat, the cartoon, but he's not cartoony, okay? So, listen, Felix was a bad man. Just know that. He was, matter of fact, he was so mean and his methods were so cruel at times that later on he got removed from his position and put on trial himself. And that's saying a lot. So we're not talking about some goody-two-shoes leader here. He's mean and he's hateful. And here he is with Paul in front of him. And what does Paul do? He shares the gospel. He has a gospel conversation with one of the most cruel men of the time. Now, I don't know about you, but I can only imagine what may have been going through Felix's mind. And again, we know that he kind of pushed Paul off. on some other officials and didn't want to make that decision. We don't know why. Maybe he identified with what Paul was talking about. There's great conviction there. Maybe he was just lazy. We don't really know why he did this, but the reality is this, that seed was planted because Paul took the opportunity to share and to have a gospel conversation with a man that had really, in the world's eyes, was too mean to hear about Jesus. Can I just encourage you that no one's off limits when you're talking about the gospel? No one. Matter of fact, when you look in Scripture, what you find in Scripture is that Jesus talks about how God's grace and mercy is for all people. How Paul puts it this way when he talks about the gospel in Romans 1. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." Well, we find in Scripture that there is not a single person who is a no. And what I mean by that is this. If you know of someone down your street who probably is the meanest and most hateful person in the world, should you share the gospel with them? Yes. What about the one sitting next to you at school that's maybe the bully, or maybe it's somebody that doesn't look like you or act like you? Should you share the gospel? Yes. Listen, there's no one that's a no. Because here's the thing. If it was on our power and our strength, yeah, that's going to be a hard one. But it's the power of the gospel. And that can reach anybody, any person. With the power of the gospel, their life can be changed. And so in God's eyes, and for us as believers, there is no such thing as a person that's a no. No matter what they've done in the past, no matter what they're doing now. Listen, that goes for us in here too. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what you may have done in your life, you're not a no, you're a yes for the gospel. That Jesus Christ wants to change your life. Can I encourage you today and say, I want to follow Paul's example and I want to share the gospel and have gospel conversations in all places with all people whenever God opens that door. Listen, that's Paul's style. And that should be our style as we have these conversations with those around us. Well, so we talk about the kind of the nuts and bolts of a big picture of a gospel conversation, but how do we do it? And so here's kind of a practical thing that I kind of, with the time that we have left, some practical ideas and tools that you can use and I can use to help have that gospel conversation. Because I get it. It can be uncomfortable. Not as uncomfortable as those people on the video, but it can be kind of uncomfortable. And so here's what I want you to do. If you have your bulletin, make sure you have your bulletin out. I had Lisa leave some space, and I want you to pull a pen out. If you have a pen, we don't have a pen in the chairs, but if you have a pen, pull it out, because we're going to do some drawing. We're going back to kindergarten and draw, but we're not going to have to color, because that's where it gets really sloppy and messy for me. But we're going to draw, and we're going to talk a little bit about having some gospel conversations, life conversations, okay? Now, you can use whatever paper you have. It doesn't have to be the notes. But here's what I want you to do too. Maybe you have a smartphone, you know, an iPhone. I have an iPhone. Maybe you have an Android, and so it might look a little different. You might have to go to a different place to find it. But if you were just to type in Life on Mission, and it's an app through the North American Mission Board. It's a pretty great app. And so, listen, I can click on this app, and it comes up with what's called three circles. And this is what we're going to walk through real quick. It's not going to take a long time, but it's an easy way that we can have a gospel conversation with someone. You can do it anywhere. You can use your phone. You can use a napkin and just draw the three circles as you talk through it. But it's an easy tool. So we have the app. You can go to that. Again, search out Life on Mission or NAM and find that Life on Mission app. But also, what we have, and this will come in handy as you leave here today, we have a little guide right here. This is a Three Circles Life Conversation Guide. And what this is it walks you through just about what we're going to talk about, okay? It walks you through it. And we have them out by as you're walking out, they're by the offering boxes. And we put them right there in front of the offering boxes. No trick there, I promise. And then as you go out, there's more on the tables out there, okay? And then we have plenty of others. So I want you to at least grab one of these when you leave, okay? So you have the app, and you have one of these. So I want to talk just a little bit as we walk through this idea of how to have a gospel conversation and what does that look like for us. And I just want to start with this. Before we go into the three circles and do any of that, there's a couple things. One is this. Probably one of the greatest words, and this really convicted me. I was reading and it really stuck to me, and I thought, man, this is powerful. And one of the most important words for any gospel conversation is hello. And I thought, that makes sense. Because can I tell you what keeps us from sharing the gospel? Is that we're afraid to engage. We're afraid to say hello to someone sitting next to us. We're afraid to say hello to our neighbor. And before we get to the gospel conversation, it's going to take each one of us going to somebody and saying hello. Listen, it opens the door. It provides opportunity. But it starts with that word. Now, I want you to do this for me as we, before we get to the three circles. I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. In verses 2 through 6, again, Paul gives us a pretty good outline on how to do this. Gives us some steps on kind of sharing the gospel. And we're going to incorporate our three circles in it in just a second. But let's look at it in Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. Paul says this, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." So within this, I believe that we can find at least three things, and we talk about sharing the having a gospel conversation. And the first one is simply this. Pray for opportunity. Pray for opportunity. How often do you pray asking God to open a door for you to share and to talk about the gospel with your neighbor? How often do you pray asking God to open a door to talk about the gospel with a fellow student, with a family member? Here's what it says in that verses 2 and 3, and I love it. It says, "Continue steadfastly," underline that and circle it, "in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." I love this idea of Paul saying, pray for open doors. Listen, he's saying, pray steadfastly. We need to pray earnestly, persevering in our prayer, and then being watchful in it in thanksgiving. Listen, if your heart is full of Jesus, you're going to be praying for opportunities with joy to share the gospel. And not just praying, but expectantly waiting for God to open a door. I mean, this is as you pray steadfastly, listen, we're watchful in it. And then it says, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word. You know, sometimes we talk about doors opening and closing, and it can get kind of cliche in the church. Well, I'm not going to do that. God just closed that door. God opened that door. Listen, there's some validity in opening doors, sharing the gospel. Praying that God would give you an opportunity to be able to have a conversation with someone is powerful and it's valid and legitimate. And listen, we should be praying every day for that opportunity. God, give me an opportunity to share what Jesus has done in my life. I don't know about you, but if we were to do it, and prayer can sometimes be very difficult. And I get it. Matter of fact, if they have surveys and have done different things in churches, again, same like as evangelism. Most Christians in church would say, we need to pray. But the same surveys would say the majority of Christians in the church do not pray. Can I just say, if you want to live life in power, in joy, in peace, and strength, you have to be connected with Jesus. And the greatest tool to be connected is through prayer. So are you spending time talking and communicating with Him? Are you spending time on your knees before Him, praying for God to speak life into you, but also to open doors that you can share the gospel with other people? Listen, pray for opportunity. But also, we find in this scripture, look at verse 4. It says that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. So not only do we pray for opportunity, but listen, we prepare for clarity. Now, this is interesting to me. This is Paul. Think about Paul. Think about how many books Paul wrote in our Bible that we have, how many people he shared the gospel with, how many lives were changed because of Paul's influence. And we think automatically that Paul had it all together. But listen, if he has to say, please pray that I may make it clear, that means there's been times where he has presented stuff that wasn't so clear. And if Paul needs people to pray, if Paul needs prayer to make it clear and to have clarity, then you know what? We need to make sure that we are praying and preparing to make it clear for us. That we have clarity when we share the gospel. Listen, again, prayer is the cornerstone of that. God, make this, make these words understandable and clear as I share and have this gospel conversation. Prepare my heart, prepare me to do it. Listen, that is essential. But I believe, too, that we can have the tools before us through scripture, through different things, that we can be prepared for when those moments do come. And I think one of those is the three circles. Now, listen, you guys may have been sharing, you may be sharing the gospel all the time. You may have gospel conversations with your coworkers and your neighbors all the time. And you have a kind of a plan that you use in scripture. Charles is in the first service and sits right on the front row. And Charles passes out scripture to everybody. And he is constantly talking about Jesus. That's what he does. And he's really good at it. He's great. So I show him the three circles. He's like, I share Jesus all the time. That's great. So don't stop what you're doing. But listen, this is a great tool. If you don't have something that you can have in your arsenal, in a sense, to help you walk through a gospel conversation, then these three circles are very, very good. And so I want to walk through this really quick. So get your pen out, and we're going to walk through it. Again, it's not long. It's simple. It's something that you can do on a napkin. It's something you can do on a piece of paper in a restaurant. If you go to Starbucks, you can do it there. And if you want a donut, you can go Dunkin' Donuts, whatever. But listen, you can sit down and you can circle and do these circles. And it's a great way to have a gospel conversation with someone. And let's be honest. And you may be saying, well, Craig, this is kind of, it'd be kind of awkward to start this conversation. Can I just tell you? Listen, this world is messed up. I'm just going to tell you, and people need hope. So this conversation that you can have with somebody, as you are talking, as you're communicating with your neighbor or a student, listen, letting them understand this is a broken world, and these are crazy times. Listen, these are crazy times. But then simply saying, you know what? Somebody showed me something that really helped me and has changed my life. Do you mind if I'd share this with you? Listen, you can open up that conversation so easy. Our world is giving you the opportunity to talk about brokenness and about how we have the greatest hope in the world in Jesus. So listen, open it up and just say, I want to just share this with you, something that has changed my life. So here's what I want you to do. So the first thing is this. I want you to do a circle. Draw a circle. And in the middle of that circle, I want you to put God's design. So here's what we find is this. God had a great and has a great design. God created this world for great purpose, and you and me for great purpose, to worship Him. Matter of fact, when you look in Scripture, Genesis 1:31, it says, God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. The Bible tells us that God had a great plan for how He created this world. But here's what happened, and I want you to draw a line. So here's what happened. God had this great plan. He has a purpose for all of us. But like everything, sometimes we think we have a better plan. And so selfishly, we start looking at our own desires and our own plans, and we start doing our own thing apart from God. And that's called sin. And what Scripture tells us is this, that every single person in the world has sin. Matter of fact, in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what plagues all of us. And the consequence of this sin is separation from God. We will not be able to have a relationship with God because of that sin in our life. And then I want you to draw the circle right at the end of that arrow. And in the middle of that, I want you to put brokenness. Because what happens when we are on our own and try to make our own plans and live selfishly, it always ends up the same way. The consequence of sin is brokenness. And we find ourselves in a very broken state, without joy, without peace in our life. And what happens when we get to that point, we start trying to find the answers to why we are broken and how we cannot be broken anymore. You notice little squiggly lines coming up from this circle. Well, we start looking at alcohol maybe to make things make sense. Maybe it's relationships to try to make sense in our life. Maybe we start going to secular counselors for that. Maybe we start looking for answers in the world. But what happens is we get all the more confused as we start looking for our own answers. And listen, there's only one answer and only one remedy for brokenness. And so God, with mercy and grace and love, gave us the greatest remedy. So I want you to put another circle down on the bottom there. And I want you to put in there gospel. God, out of His love, realizing that we are broken, the remedy is Jesus. So He sent His Son, Jesus, to live a perfect and sinless life. And He gave Himself up on the cross, shedding His blood for the forgiveness of sin. John 3:16, for God loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son. Because God loved us so much, He didn't want to leave us broken. But listen, understanding and hearing those words, that there is a gospel of good news, that Jesus is the remedy, just knowing that is not enough. And so there's an arrow that goes from brokenness to the gospel. And really what that is simply this, is that there has to come a point where we recognize that Jesus is the remedy. And that we have to believe that Jesus is who He says He is. That He gave His life for the forgiveness of sin. We need to turn our life and trust in Him and follow after Him with all that we have. And Scripture says this, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, for those that trust and give their life to Jesus and repent and turn and believe in Him, there's another arrow that goes right back to God's design. And that just simply tells us this, when we give our life to Jesus, when we turn and follow Him, we are able to be to have the joy and the peace, we recover and we begin to pursue what God's design is in our life. That we start to walk back into this relationship with God, and it changes us forever, and we begin to pursue the purposes that He has for us. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out His good purpose. Listen, when we give our life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit empowers us to live life for Him. And it changes everything. Listen, that's the three circles. Just simply walking from God's design all the way back to God's design. And as you have these gospel conversations, just simply looking at whoever you're talking to and say, listen, this is where hope is found. And this is where your life can be changed forever. And then just simply ask them, is that the life you desire? And then walk them into this relationship with Jesus. Let them go before Him and surrender their life to Him, calling out to our Savior. Listen, it's an incredible tool. An easy and simple tool to use to help your gospel conversation, to guide your conversation with those around you. So I want to encourage you, get the app. It's easy. Get the guide and have that with you. Look at it. But even more than that, be prepared. Be prepared whenever the door is open to sit down and begin walking, whoever it may be, walking them through to this great purpose and to God's design. Well, the last thing is this, as we look at Paul's kind of instruction of gospel conversations. He says this in verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. One of the things that Paul was so great at was when he spoke to people, he was gracious. And so I want to encourage you to present it with grace. Listen, be prepared. Pray for opportunity. Be prepared, but present it with grace. And here's why Paul was so in touch with that, why it was so important to him to be gracious when he spoke to people. Because he remembered that not too long before that, he was lost in his sin. That he was dying and going to hell. Listen, there are two types of people in this world. Don't let anybody tell you any different. All right, we can classify different people and put them in different groups. Listen, the church in general is pretty good at that. But there's two kinds of people in this world, the ones that are saved and the ones that aren't. And listen, if you are saved, if you have Jesus in your life, can I just tell you that you should remember what Jesus has done for you, the grace that He showed you, and may you extend that same grace to someone else. So when we present the gospel, have a gospel conversation of what Jesus has done in your life, you're graciously walking with them in this life-changing decision. I want to encourage you today to present the gospel with grace. Our churches have had enough of condemning people and judgmental people. Listen, may we present the gospel with grace. Now, listen, I know that there's probably many more things that we could say as we talk about how to share the gospel. But I want to encourage you. One, use what you got. Use what you got. Take advantage of your time now. And just do it. Just start the conversation. Let the Holy Spirit work and move. Because can I just encourage you in this? You are never going to change somebody's life. But the Holy Spirit can. What we are called to do is just present the gospel. We're called to share the gospel with words. It's not enough just to live it out. We got to share it with words. And let the Holy Spirit do His work. And having said that, I just want to say this. If you find yourself struggling, and it's a burden, and it's taxing, and it's hard, and it's difficult and mundane to share the gospel, can I just encourage you with this? Or maybe that's a better word to say challenge. I get those mixed up. Challenge you with this. Sharing the gospel, having gospel conversations, is an overflow of the heart. If you find it hard and difficult and taxing and mundane to share the gospel, that's a heart condition. And may we be prepared in our hearts from the overflow of what Jesus is doing in us. May we be prepared to share with others. I'm not saying everything goes smooth. I'm just saying with joy, you want to tell others what you have. So church, can I just today, may we be willing to have gospel conversations. This world is never going to change. Your neighborhood will never change. Your schools will never change. And I'm just going to be honest. They're never going to change if all you're doing is being a good person. All right? Unbelievers, non-believers can be good people. We've had a lot of good people for a lot of years in our world. This world is not going to change because you're a good person. The world is going to change through the power of the gospel. It's going to change through Jesus Christ. But how are they going to know about Jesus unless we are willing to share?